The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Well, it is the Paul Feinbaum Show, but it's Peter Burns hosting today. Follow me on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. We're had a great first hour. Trev Alberts, the brand new director of athletics of over at Nebraska, joined me and was talking about some of the different things he's got going. And of course, it's all about scheduling, right? I forgot to ask him. In 2027, he's got an opening. Texas has an opening. I want to pair those two together. That's one of those college football matchups, Nebraska, Texas, in the Big 12 days. I'd like to see. One of these matchups that I'd like to see for a bevy of different reasons is Florida and UCF. Is it going to happen? Mike Bianchi joining me from the Orlando Sentinel. Mike, is it finally done? Is this deal on the half yard line, as people like to call it now?
It's at the half inch yard line is where it's at. It's at the half inch yard line. Yeah, that should be announced probably. Within the next few days, it's going to be a three-game series. First two games at the Swamp, one game at the Bounce House in Orlando, and the first game, they're all spread out. 2024 is the first game. The second game's in 2030, and then the third game is in 2033. So I probably won't be alive to see the last two, but at least I'll get to see the first one.
It's interesting on 96.9 The Game, where you also host, you all had a tweet earlier that was asking, at least, you know, Golden Knight fans, I mean, how do they feel about it? If it is a 2-for-1 deal, going to the Swamp twice, once in the Bounce House, how do you feel? 80% of the fans like the deal. So my question is, what changed from now, this deal getting done, to, you know, years prior?
Well, I think the fans have always wanted this game. They've always wanted to play Florida. UCF, of course, not in the SEC, not in a Power 5 league. They've always sort of had the little brother syndrome. They wanted to play these big-time opponents like Florida, and Florida is the flagship university in the state of Florida, so they've always wanted to play them. But when Danny White arrived at UCF, and UCF got really good when Scott Frost was the head coach and then Josh Heupel, and they had the back-to-back unbeaten seasons. Danny White's reasoning was, listen, we're on par with some of these mid-level Power 5 teams. Why should we have to play a 2-for-1 with like a Texas Tech when our program's better than Texas Tech's? So he wanted to be elevated to, hey, if Florida's going to play Colorado 1-for-1, why wouldn't they play UCF 1-for-1? He sort of backed himself into a corner there. And there was the financial situation. He didn't want to give up an extra home game because, let's face it, UCF makes most of their money from playing home games. They make $3 to $5 million per home game. He didn't want to give up an extra home game to play Florida on a 2-for-1 basis. UCF doesn't get the $50 million SEC network check like Florida did, so he thought it was inequitable scheduling.
With that being said, how much do you think that was a push from Gus? Because I know Gus is chomping at the bit. I talked to him after he had first gotten the UCF job, and I was like, you want to play Auburn? Yep. You want to play Florida? Yep. He's all in on this. I mean, how much of that push, and you feel that momentum that he has there in Orlando?
Yeah, there will probably be, you know, if like an Alabama or an Auburn or a Michigan or Ohio State or a Florida – big-time opponents like that, if they want a 2-for-1 with UCF, I'm sure Terry Mahajer, the new AD, and Gus Malzahn, the new football coach, I'm sure they would be all in for that. But I still don't think you're going to see UCF playing the mid-level Power 5s on a 2-for-1 basis. I still think like the Georgia Techs and the North Carolinas and schools like that, I still think UCF is going to play those on a 1-for-1 basis. But yes, I think Gus Malzahn and Terry Mahajer, the new AD, have certainly changed UCF's philosophy about playing big-time marquee opponents on a 2-for-1 basis.
Mike Bianchi of the Orlando Sentinel, 96.9 The Game in Orlando, joining Peter Burns here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. Mike, for Gus, it's such an interesting kind of roller coaster ride he had at Auburn. It was fun as hell to watch. I will put that. I'm not necessarily an Auburn fan, but just watching it was must-see television each and every week. What's this team going to look like that he inherits from Josh Heupel, who, of course, now is going to be over there in Rocky Top?
Well, offensively, it should be outstanding. Josh Heupel was an outstanding offensive coach as well. Dylan Gabriel, one of the top quarterbacks in the country coming back. I think Pro Football Focus had him rated as the fourth-ranked quarterback in the country among all 130 FBS quarterbacks. UCF is loaded at receiver. They have all sorts of speed. Now, I think that's where Gus Malzahn's going to make the real defense, even though he's an offensive guru by trade. I think UCF's defense is going to be a lot better under Gus Malzahn than it was under Josh Heupel. Josh Heupel sort of let the defense go. But, man, I think Gus Malzahn's going to have a really good first year at UCF. And I'll tell you what, and he's even said this, if we get to the 12-team playoff, and it looks like that's going to happen, UCF has every opportunity to make the playoff more times than not, because where they're located, the advantages and the resources they have, the recruiting and the coach that they have, I think Gus Malzahn is set up to make the playoff more at UCF if it's a 12-team playoff than maybe he would have been at Auburn.
Interesting. With that being said, is we're still a couple of years removed or away from that possibly happening. It's not 100%, but it's probably pretty good opportunity of that it's going to go down. With that being said, right here, 2021, the best team in the state of Florida is whom?
Oh, I still think it's the Gators, even though Kyle Trask Miami would have an argument too, but I still think it's the Gators. I think Dan Mullen is a fabulous coach. I think he's a fabulous offensive coordinator. He's got a quarterback now, even though Kyle Trask broke all sorts of records last year. Emory Jones is a quarterback that really fits what Dan Mullen wants to do more than Kyle Trask does on the offensive side. And Emory Jones, I mean, everybody talked about how patient Kyle Trask was waiting his turn. Well, Emory Jones, he could have transferred many times. A lot of schools wanted him to transfer. He waited his turn behind Kyle Trask, and I think he's going to have a great year. I think the Gators are still the best team in the state, but UCF and Miami right there knocking on the door, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it's interesting that Florida State is still not even anywhere close in that conversation, something that Norvell is going to have to change pretty quickly out there in Tallahassee. Mike Bianchi of the Orlando Sentinel joining Peter Burns here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. Mike, when you look at being in Orlando, kind of like how I almost, Nashville to a certain extent, a big hub where a college is at, right? We've got Vanderbilt there, UCF is in Orlando. How much of being in a big city like that you think will help schools for NIL purposes as opposed to being the only game in town in Fayetteville or Starkville or Gainesville?
Well, it's sort of, I heard you just talking about Nebraska. You would think, though, a school like that, Nebraska, all right, the only program really in the entire state, you would think those players, Alabama and Auburn the same way, but states that don't have pro teams, they would be loading up on endorsement possibilities. But at UCF, I got to tell you, in Orlando, this is, the biggest city in America without an NFL team. You mentioned Nashville. Well, Nashville has a bunch of other pro sports. In Orlando, we have the Orlando Magic, who aren't very good, and that's it, essentially. We have an MLS team. But, UCF, if you're a star football player at UCF, you have a lot of endorsement possibilities. There are a lot of big businesses in Orlando. So, yeah, I think Orlando's a unique city in that way simply because there's no NFL team, and everybody knows the NFL is the king of all sports, and Orlando doesn't UCF doesn't have that to compete with.
It was interesting. I remember Gus Malzahn, trying to make it a name, and kind of like how Danny White, when ruffled some feathers whenever he was on his parade and the championship thing, it got them on the map. And I remember, didn't Gus Malzahn put out a billboard in Gainesville saying, UCF is a home of Florida? Is that something that he did?
Yeah, not just Gainesville, Tallahassee, Miami. All over the state, UCF, the future of college football. And then he had one in Gainesville, and he had the map of Florida, and then he said the future of college football only, I don't know how far it is, 111 miles away from Gainesville.
I love it. I love how stupid this sport is every single once. I will tell you, Mike, I think this is the first time I've had you on any of my shows, and I've always seen you come on Feinbaum, and I'm always got my popcorn because it feels like you never know what's going to happen between you and Feinbaum.
But you're much nicer to me than Paul is. He's so nasty sometimes.
How's your relationship? I mean, a Christmas card material, or,
Hey, I love Paul. What Paul's done with his career from being, little old sports columnist in Birmingham, Alabama, at the afternoon paper, the Birmingham Post-Herald, to become one of the biggest influencers in college football. Paul Feinbaum is my idol and my hero, and he's bald like me, so I aspire to be Paul Feinbaum.
Balls of a feather rock together, right? Isn't that what it is? Mike Bianchi, hey, thank you for the time, being nice to me, and breaking down this possible Florida-UCF deal, all right?
Peter, thanks.
There it is, Mike Bianchi, 96.9 The Game. He's bald like me. Look at the compliment. Daniel Bram's one of our great producers. He's like, hey, just so you know, he can come in firing. You never know. I'm like, dude, we deal with Feinbaum callers all day long. I should be okay. Mike was great. Trev Alberts was great. We're going to have a Harry Lyles. Billy Lucci will probably be great. Jason Kersey's going to talk to us a little bit about what's going on in the Horns Down controversy. I'm looking forward to all of that. 855-242-PAUL is the number where we find Mike in Nashville. Thanks for joining Peter Burns here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing today? Thanks for so much for taking my call.
You got it, bud.
Hey, so yeah, you guys actually just kind of discussed what I was actually calling about. I was just going to say how I really think that this whole player endorsement deal could really benefit a university like Vanderbilt, just due to the location of the university and, you know, the wealthy alumni that come from the university itself. I could really see it actually benefiting a school like Vanderbilt.
You know, it's interesting because I've had that, you know, I do a Monday through Friday show with Chris Doering over on SiriusXM. We do the morning show over there, and we discussed this, and we got into a huge battle about this, Mike, because, you know, Doering thought, hey, it was going to be the Gainesville, the Starkville, the small places, even Lincoln, Nebraska, where you're the only game in town. And I was with you. I said, well, what about Nashville, right? Like, what about these hubs? Could they do it? And the more I started thinking about it, is that I think it could be done big time in Nashville, but you've got to have a coach or a swagger person around them to make it happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and I'm trying to think of the best name. I mean, Lane Kiffin is that way on social media, but he's not really that way when you get him in front of donors or actually in public. We'll see that in media days. I think a lot of people are going to be blown away thinking Lane Kiffin's like, oh my gosh, he's going to be telling all these jokes at media days. He's not, right? He's really good at the keyboard on his phone. Live mic, not so much. But how do you have kind of a salesperson take that job in Vanderbilt? Because I don't really necessarily see that with Clark Lee. I think Clark Lee is a good fit for football, but I'm not sure if he unlocks that kind of next star level that Commodore football needs. And, I mean, what was your thoughts? I mean, you sit there in Vandy or Vandy's footprint. Has he pierced through? I mean, are people paying attention to Clark Lee being in Nashville?
Well, it's early, you know. I mean, he is a, you know, he wasn't necessarily the most exciting hire or personality, you know, so far. But the one thing I think Vanderbilt's doing right so far is they're kind of, in my opinion, following that Northwestern footprint, where what you're doing is you're getting an alumni. I think to be successful at Vanderbilt, you need an alumni, someone who has some kind of loyalty to the university to really stick through with them. You know, I think Derek Mason did a great job on the recruiting trail. It all, you know, fell apart on him in the end. But, you know, he was a good personality for Vanderbilt. He was a fiery guy. And I think that is something Lee has got to pick up on.
Yeah, and I guess wins, you know, if you build it, they will come. If you win games, they will come as well. And we'll see if the name, image, and likeness helps it when it comes to recruiting also. Mike, we appreciate the phone call, man. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, more of your phone calls coming up. 855-242-PAUL is the number. That's 855-242-7285. Also, Connor, do not let me get to phone calls before I get into the Matt Stinchcomb thing, okay? Stinchcomb and Kirby Smart, the audio is incredible. And I keep saying that we're going to play it, and I keep forgetting it because I'm so ADD. Do not. Are you okay with that? I need you to hold me accountable.
That is how we're starting the next segment.
Okay, that's how we'll start the next segment. Peter Burns in here on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back, Paul Feinbaum Show. Peter Burns in for Mr. Paul Feinbaum today. Follow me on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. I'll be hosting my show, SEC This Morning. We'll be on TV every single morning from SEC Media Days. Looking forward to having a bunch of just different interviews, players, coaches coming in. Of course, one of the teams that I think is going to do pretty damn well are the Georgia Bulldogs. They'll be Tuesday on SEC Media Day. So I asked one of our good buddies over at SEC Network, Matt Stinchcomb, on my SiriusXM show a couple of days ago. I said, Stinch, I want you to tell me what Kirby Smart might say in his opening press conference. Now, when you listen to this audio, this is not Kirby Smart. This is Matt Stinchcomb as Kirby Smart. Check it out.
Give me 30 seconds of Kirby Smart's introduction of his presser when he finally takes to the podium over here at SEC Media Days coming up next week.
Okay. All right, guys. Well, we're really excited to be here in Hoover. Back here in the Winfrey Hotel. It's a beautiful setup. You know, we love the lobby, that marble lobby down there. I think I saw Bear Bryant down there, which I didn't think was possible because I'm pretty sure Coach Bryant, Coach Bryant's dead. But I saw a guy down there, looks just like him. And know what, the Bama fans didn't even pay any attention to him because, as you know, Coach Saban's won more than the Bear. So the worms turned. I'm surprised. I never thought I'd see that or say that, but a lot of people down there wearing sweater vests instead of houndstooth, which is interesting. But I guess it's a homage to Nick. Let's see. You know, we've had a great off season. Guys worked really hard. You know, I've been out at the lake a little bit, playing a little bit of golf. You know, I saw Coach Mullen. He was doing some wake surfing, which is, that's fine. The boat moves kind of slow. You know, my kids really like to wake surf. And so I can see why Coach Mullen likes to wake surf a little bit. That's more his speed. We like to do maybe like high velocity wakeboarding, and y'all like to do 360 flips over the wake. But if he likes to wake surf, that's cool. He almost stuck that little 360 he did, but they kind of edited the clip, looked like he was about to fall. But anyway, it's just, we've been in here with the coaches and players. You know, we got JT out here. He looks real good. You know, just to clear things up. You know, guys, y'all think that that's a mock turtleneck that he's wearing all the time. And, you know, he's a kid from California. You know, he likes to surf. So that's actually a wetsuit that he's got on underneath his pads. And so you never know when you want to maybe catch a wave or two, which is tough. In Athens, Georgia, that's hard.
So good.
It's a wetsuit, guys, not a mock turtleneck.
He is so good. Matt, that is not Kirby Smart. That is Matt Stinchcomb on my SiriusXM SEC This Morning show this week. Again, one of my favorite things, and Matt Stinchcomb is fantastic. He was a fantastic player, does fantastic work for us on SEC Network. But one of our favorite things that we do with Stinchcomb, a lot of times would drive back from the studios from his home over in Georgia, and he's got a little bit of time. So his favorite thing to do, kill time, is he leaves messages as different head coaches and players on our voicemails. 95% of them we can't play for on air, but they are fantastic. That one, luckily we could, having some fun with what Kirby Smart is going to say. All right, coming up, name, image, and likeness is here. What are the best of the best and kind of the crazy deals? Harry Lyles from ESPN is going to tell us. I'm Peter Burns, in for Paul Feinbaum.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Peter Burns in for Paul Feinbaum today. Follow me on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. I see this tweet just came across my timeline on Twitter. And, you know, I guess Jeff Bezos has his Blue Origin deal where it's a spaceship going up to Earth and you can bid on it. So they're having their, you know, they had a bid on it. It was $28 million. Somebody won the bid. You get to go up to space, I think is with Jeff Bezos, in this spaceship. So the guy who won it remains anonymous. But according to the company, that person has chosen to fly on a future one because they had scheduling conflicts. So he gave it up some 18-year-old kid named Oliver Damien. So how about that? Imagine bidding $28 million to go on the spaceship ride and be like, oh, man, I forgot. The wife totally booked something. That makes no sense. I can't believe that happened. Harry Lyles joining us right now. Just random things that come across my timeline, Harry. And you're a great follow on Twitter yourself. Let's get into this. Big 12 media days are all about this horns up, horns down. Explain the stupid controversy right now.
Yeah, stupid's a good word for it, among other things. Like, I can't get over the fact that, like, for all of the, like, toxic, like, tough guy things that, like, people believe in, not even just about sports, but particularly about, like, football, right? Like, football is this big, like, macho sport, like people love, you know, calling the football players gladiators and all this kind of stuff like that. And we decide to draw the line at you can't take our hand signal and throw it upside down because that's disrespectful. I just, like, to me, it's like we die on, like, the weirdest hills. And for all of, like, the toughness that people try to exude within the sport, for this to be, like, the one thing where, like, okay, but no, like, we're going to draw the line right here is just hilarious to me on so
many
different
levels. I mean, honestly, and if I'm Texas, I love this because it's just free marketing, right? Like, it's an opportunity for people, like, horns up, the horns down, doesn't matter. As long as the horns, you know, are on television, that's building the brand, right? As long, you know, the publicity saying, as long as you spell my name right, that's going to be good publicity. With that being said, is this the Big 12 overthinking it? Is this Texas going to them going, hey, listen, we need a safe space here? Like, what is this?
I personally would love to know, like, the conversations that are being had behind closed doors, because I feel like if you let it happen, like, that's just good for not just Texas, but, I mean, that's great for the conference. Like, you want that kind of trash talk, that banter and stuff like that. I mean, like, a lot of us obviously – you know, grew up in SEC country, loving all the trash talk that Steve Spurrier was talking. Like, that's the stuff that, you know, really made you even more invested in the games. So it just seemed so counterproductive to me to turn that into a penalty. I think that the more trash talk and competitiveness, and not to draw it away from college football, but I think one of everybody's favorite series in the NBA playoffs this year was Hawks-Knicks, and it's not necessarily because it was the two most talented teams, but rather there was like the best trash talk going on. And I think that that is part of what makes our sports great, is the trash talk. And I think that's honestly elevated at the collegiate level because of all the traditions that everybody loves and cherishes.
Zero doubt. I mean, just seeing Trae Young trigger so many of those Knicks fans up there was just worth every, worth its weight in gold. And that was fantastic. Harry Lyles joining us, ESPN staff writer here with Peter Burns here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. All right, I love the piece. You blogged about it, talking about some of the more eclectic, interesting NIL deals. Which one did you have the most fun talking about that still kind of shocks you that it's out there?
I think, like, one of the things – okay, so the one that I thought was, like, the funniest was Dan Lambert, the guy from American Top Team in Miami, like, basically getting as close to creating a bankroll for Miami as possible. One, just because it's Miami, and, of course, it's, like, them, you know? Like, you would also imagine, like, somebody at some point, right, has to try this with SMU, given their history and all that kind of stuff. That would probably be the only other school that would be just as hilarious, if not funnier. But honestly, the one that I was like super intrigued by and happy to find was the Marshall offensive lineman, Will Ulmer, you know, wanting to be able to play music without having to use an alias. So he's not going to get in trouble for playing live or selling his own music or anything of that nature, because in a lot of discussions that I've had with athletes, both, you know, not even just football, but like track stars like at USC and Anna Cockrell, who's actually qualified for the Olympics now. You guys will probably get to know her name well here up in the next few weeks. And Khalees Barton, who plays soccer at Washington State, is that, like, it's so much bigger than just, like, even the guys, right? But also in Will's position, he is a musician. And you have your music, you know, as students that are on scholarship. You have the art students that are on scholarship, and those students are, right, attending the same universities on scholarship, just like the athletes are. But it's weird because, like, now just because you're the athletes, like, you cannot benefit in the similar ways that, like, the other students are doing, which, again, kind of goes back to, like, hey, this amateurism model is kind of BS, because it's like you can't really call them student athletes if they are treated differently than students. So for Ulmer, you know, to finally, I guess, like, see that disconnect, and now that he is also able to have those same opportunities as regular students, I just thought was, like, very interesting. And again, like, another way to chip away at this lie that is amateurism in the NCAA.
And Harry, you're spot on, because what we talk about is everyone thinks, oh, you know, it's going to be guys getting $100,000, and oh, they're going to get a Dodge Charger, and they're going to get this. It's like, dude, I've never heard of the guy. He wants to make $150 playing an acoustic guitar, playing, you know, God knows what, you know, some knockoff karaoke songs. Sure. But you know what? For him, that's a couple of dollars that he can make, a talent that he has. And I mean, who knows what happens from there? So there's so many of these little things that just made common sense. I want to go back to the Dan Lambert part, but I was fascinated. I talked about this a lot on my SiriusXM show, is that his setup basically was that we're going to create kind of like, you know, like they have these super PACs in politics, right? Where it's just everybody donates some money, and then we're going to donate it to the candidates that we want. Isn't this, in essence, what he's doing with Miami football? I mean, he basically, the whole company is called Bring the U Back. Now, you're not supposed to use it to entice people, but if the name of your damn company is Bring the U Back, what are you trying to achieve here?
No, I agree with you 100%, and I very strategically tried to put his quote at the end there where he says, you know, I want to help the kids, I want to reward them for what they do, and then the most important part of that was, I want a better product on the field, too. We're going to see this all across the country, and I think, too, it's just like, hey, like, you know, I think if you're the NCAA, to be honest, like, you kind of want to see this happen, because as long as that money's coming from third parties and your revenue's not being touched, like, there's a lot of people that are invested in that. They don't want to see that happen. I think that this has gotten us closer to getting to that point. And I've spoke with a lot of athletes in the past couple of days who are like, all right, well, now that we knocked that door down, it's time to get the next one. But I think that this is going to be really interesting, and we're going to continue to see a lot of people like Lambert get creative in the sense of like, okay, how can I basically, again, get as close to having a bankroll for my favorite team as I can? And again, I feel like we're going to see these examples where with him in this case in Miami, like you said, it's very blatant, right? Like the name of it, all of it. And I think that we're going to see more of it. And I think that, you know, it'll be interesting to see what the reaction is to that, because I really don't think, again, that the people in the NCAA and the people that are really making the most money off of this thing are really going to have much of a gripe, because as long as their pockets aren't being touched, then they're happy.
Yeah, it's interesting. Harry Lyles joining Peter Burns here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. And Harry, to follow up on what you just said, I never thought of it in that way, that the NCAA just be like, listen, I'm not going to get involved in it. I can't police it. I can't enforce it. And so therefore, was it really the NCAA that was against it, or the NCAA was against it on behalf of the schools themselves? Because I would imagine there is a little bit of redistribution of some funds to where Dan Lambert said, hey, man, I used to normally put money towards, you know, Miami Hurricanes, the, you know, the building fund, and, you know, see where the doorknobs are going to be at, right? But he said that didn't necessarily get me a whole lot of success. So, I mean, is it really more the schools that have been fighting this as opposed to maybe the NCAA as a whole?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a combination, right? And I think that, you know, something that was really telling that a lot of people, to me, it's like odd, right? Like with everything that has to do with college football, you have to really like take a step back and be like, okay, but like who benefits from this? What actually does make sense? What is, you know, fact and what is fiction? And I always go back to the day that Mark Emmert got an extension, and everybody on Twitter, for some reason, was like scratching their head over this thing. And I'm like, okay, but like you guys do realize like the stuff that he is upholding is a lot of what these schools want to uphold, and everybody, you know, in between him and everything else like that, like he's doing what he's supposed to do. It's like Roger Goodell. Like we all look at Roger
Protecting
Goodell,
the shield.
He has messed up just about everything. But he is paid, what was it, like $44 million a year to take those shots. And that's what Mark Emmert is doing. And that's why he got his extension, because he's literally doing his job exactly the way that they want him to do it. And in this case with NIL, it's like, you know, I was also obviously very excited to see this happen. But I think a lot of people kind of lost the bigger picture here in that, like, yes, that's like very good. But it's kind of like I mentioned at the top of the article, like this is not the end game. Like this is not the final solution. It's good. There still needs to be more things to be done here in order for the players to get the things that they deserve.
It's a start, right? And I think it's something
it's
that it's a common sense start. Last question for you. You love college football. And, you know, today I saw Tennessee is going to be playing Syracuse, which was kind of like, boom, random. Okay. And I've been asking our callers, 855-242-PAUL, to give us a shout. What random, just out of the blue matchup you would like to see? Just as a college football fan, is there one matchup that would just be completely random? Like we get LSU, UCLA, right? Two completely different worlds colliding in week one. I can't wait for. If I put you in charge of scheduling for your favorite team, what random matchup you scheduling?
Wow, that's actually a great question.
Who's your favorite team?
Well, I am a graduate of Georgia State University.
Okay.
And so, you know, obviously they knocked off Tennessee, what was it, 2 years ago now?
That's right, yeah.
Very, very great day. You know, love it, even though it's not the Tennessee that you and I grew up with. Tennessee, nonetheless, Georgia State's been playing football for, let's see, 12 years now coming up this year. Mm-hmm. You know, I will say this. I would like to see Georgia State get a crack at, like another, like, mid or at least in a middle-of-the-pack, like, SEC team. So, like, maybe give me, like, Georgia State and maybe, let's say,
Auburn?
I'm going to go Mississippi State.
Mississippi State. Okay. All right. Yeah, I can see that.
Just because, like, you know, like, Mississippi State is not, like, you know, the most prestigious of the SEC programs, if you will. But, like, as a fan of Georgia State athletics, like, I would feel good about myself and I could be like, hey, we beat an SEC team. Don't ask which one it was, though.
And I won't ask Mike Leach that question next week when I see him over at Media Days. Harry, great stuff, man. The article is over on ESPN.com. It's a fantastic blog post about NIL and a bunch of little nuggets in there. We appreciate the time, man.
Thanks, Peter. Have a good one, man.
There it is. Harry Lyles joining us here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. Peter Burns in for Paul Feinbaum. Let's get one more call in here, and then we'll open it up. Full phone lines coming up in the next break. 855-242-PAUL. That's 855-242-7285. Ryan is in Alabama. Thanks for joining the Paul Feinbaum Show. Peter Burns, what's up, man?
Hey, Peter Burns, how you doing?
Good, man.
The best, I guess, that I've heard about the NIL, the best take that I've heard from, I guess, a celebrity or from an ESPN or some or a talking head was Charles Barkley. And I just got to think, you know, that big, ugly offensive lineman that's not selling a lot of the jerseys, there's going to be a little bit of a pushback in the locker room with some of the stud players. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think what's going to happen is I think from day one it got put out there and we saw all these deals and, you know, it's going to be a sandwich shop here and, oh, okay, I got a new logo. I'm going to put a T-shirt out. Let's be honest with you. How many people are going to go out there to buy any kid's T-shirt and his logo out there for $30? I mean, maybe Georgia fans for JT Daniels and a couple other marquee players, but there's a handful of guys. I'm not quite sure if it's going to divide as much as possible. I still think that was more rhetoric from coaches and assistant coaches going, listen, there's going to be a power dynamic at some point. But that should take care of itself. And honestly, I think it's going to be the coaching that comes in. Like, you're going to be able to see who has a real, real stable fan or football program. And actually not just football, team. Right? Who runs a tight ship in their respective sports with name, image, and likeness? Because if it is kind of weak and you don't run and you're not a leader of your team and they don't respect what you do, it could create issues. But do we think that, do we think somebody at Alabama, the second string defensive lineman is going to get upset because Bryce Young might have a deal? I don't think that's going to fly in Saban's locker room, right?
Yeah, I don't think if he's going to let anything fly where you're showing up late to practice because you were, signing autographs down the
street. Can you imagine?
So, yeah, you're right. You're definitely right.
Oh, my God. Ryan, we appreciate the phone call, man. Can you imagine? Hey, Coach Saban, why were you late? Coach Saban, give me a second, all right? I did something for a sweet tea. And I had to post a couple of Instagram. I couldn't get this TikTok dance that I've been working on. I couldn't get it right. It took me way too many tries, and that's why I'm late for the fourth quarter program in Tuscaloosa. I don't think that's going to happen at that point. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. All right. So I asked you, what's the most random or what's the one matchup you want your team to schedule? Give me a call, 855-242-PAUL. That's 855-242-7285. Peter Burns in on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back, Paul Feinbaum Show. Peter Burns in for Mr. Feinbaum. He'll be back over on Monday. I will be hosting my regular show, SEC This Morning, live from Media Days. Myself and Chris Doering will launch our 46 hours of coverage for the SEC Media Days over on SEC Network starting at 8 a.m. Eastern. So looking forward to being back in Hoover for college football. Looking forward to seeing, just football in general. But did see a scheduling matchup real quick. Tennessee, Syracuse coming in 2025 in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl kickoff. I asked you, what other random matchup, just kind of out of the blue, would you like your favorite team to play? Keith in Jacksonville, thanks for joining. Peter Burns, what do you got?
Hey, Peter, how you doing?
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing good. I'd love to see my Alabama Crimson Tide travel to North Dakota State
and take play on the Bison
that has more national championships in FCS than any other team. What a place that would be.
It would be a tip of the cap to the Bison, who are great. I mean, you see what the job that they had done over the last couple of years. It'd be fantastic to watch. Of course, if you're going to do that, right, at that point, you need Alabama to go travel up there in like mid-November, early November, right, because you want to see the snow, correct?
I want to see the snow. I want to see Alabama with all those heavy fall coats on trying to withstand the temperature, and I would love it. Even though they're an FCS team, I think it'd be a great matchup. and probably the whole city would be there for the game.
Oh, it would be unbelievable. I know, I doubt that we would see that, but again, that's the question I asked. What random matchup would you want if you're an athletic director? Thank you for the phone call, by the way. Of what matchup would you want, right? What matchups that we're going to get? Because, you know, and I'll talk to Billy Lucci about this here in the upcoming next hour, is that, yeah, there's JT Daniels, there's Bryce Young, we know Bo Nix, but there's not the star power that we traditionally have as far as, like, recognizable names throughout the sport, right? Like, normally in other years, you probably, you know, Matt Corral's up there. There's probably seven or eight guys that even if you're in Iowa or you're in New Jersey or California, you follow college football, you know from the SEC. This year, it's not so much. So I think this year is not necessarily the year of star players, but star games, right? We're going to get, you know, Lane Kiffin going back up to Tennessee in that matchup. We're going to have Hugh Freeze and Liberty take on Ole Miss, LSU, UCLA, you know, Georgia, Clemson. Yeah, I mean, some fantastic matchups. It's a year really of the matchup as opposed to the players. We'll talk about Texas A&M, more of your phone calls when we return here on the Paul Feinbaum Show.